Hello. Incredible pleasure to be here. It's been, I want to say, about 7 months since I was at a Federal Reserve meeting, and it's just amazing to see just how far we've come when it comes to payments. My background started actually in dealing with the two topics that we're addressing today. One is serving the underserved, and the other one is alternative payments. And way back in 1999, before prepaid was officially prepaid, we had this idea that, hey, you should be able to buy a debit card or open an account at a local convenience store. And, 11 years later, it's become an entire industry that spanned the globe with a purportedly total volume here by the end of 2012 that is supposed to reach hundreds of billions of dollars. So why are we still in this business when we could have just moved to Tahiti or south of France? And the reality is because the mission of empowering the underserved is still very much at the core of who we are as individuals. It's become our personal mission statement. But at the same time, because the innovation continues to be a key component of how we believe we can radically change paradigms and make it where the large portion of the world's population that is outside of financial services can be included in. And the reason why we care about that is not just from a philanthropic or social impact perspective, because it's ultimately good business and is good for us, good for our economies. So I'll try to run you through a quick introduction of who we are, as well as a quick snapshot of the trends that we've seen as we've invested and grown companies around the world, all of them dealing with this issue of financial inclusion, leveraging technology. So we'll give you a global context, key trends, and also something that we learned very early, 10 years plus ago, on the fact that the product has to be aligned with the customer's needs. We can think in terms of a prepaid card. We can think in terms of a product, mobile banking, mobile payments. But the reality is ultimately there are customer needs that need to be addressed, and the products, the programs, the companies don't exist unless we actually make sure that there's that alignment. So since we grew one of the first prepaid companies in the world into a billion-plus-dollar company, we've decided that the opportunity outside of prepaid in the United States was much greater. And so we decided to commit $100 million out of our own capital and went out and launched a venture fund whose mission was to actually invest in three different buckets. One, where we felt it was more of an infrastructure building branchless banking networks around the world to address, as Jennifer touched on, the money in, money out interstitial that is necessary for any kind of payments for the underserved. Second, mobile payment applications, because we also recognized that we needed to focus on the actual development of products, technology that went from the lowest common denominator on the SMS or USSID all the way to smartphone applications, Android, iPhone, iPad, you name it. And then lastly, advanced financial services, in where today we're starting on asset development. And so we're on meetings with the New York Fed 5 years ago. We were talking about launching the first ever national savings program for the unbanked. Now we're actually talking about, hey, we actually want to launch some of the first mutual fund programs for the underserved at retail, on mobile, and online. And, oh, by the way, we were also looking at expanding that internationally. But it's not just about the for-profit endeavors that we have, which always have a double bottom line, but at the same time, we also recognize that our investments have to go beyond those and really do a collaborative effort both with academia, NGOs, and also government. To that effect, we've committed, and we already have exceeded our commitment, of over $30 million to Clinton Global Initiative. That was a couple of years ago. We also funded an empowerment lab at Harvard University to work with academia and really figure out on the long-term strategies about, okay, so if you bring the cost of remittances, for example, and you bring it down from 15% or $10 to $2, or if where you're able to, you enable micro remittances so that Jose can send Maria $5 if he needs to, and it's gonna make sense from a fee perspective. What is the impact to the communities both in the U.S. and in Mexico in this particular example? And then lastly, we also recognize that our all efforts are augmented when we actually partner with finance ministers, central banks, and try to figure out how do we craft, how do we help educate in terms of regulation. And then when I say educate from the practical perspective, where we are able to share with everybody what's working, what's not working. Hey, we can have an idea for a particular regulation, but if it breaks a business model and nobody wants to play, you know, did that regulation actually have the intended result? And to that extent, we've been very active at both, whether it's OECD, World Economic Forum. From a portfolio perspective, we view Empower Ventures as the entity that provides the nutrients, basically as the checkbook. And then we have a series of portfolio companies, again, REV, which is the company that ultimately has been focused on the infrastructure of money in, money out, international company with presence in every continent except for Africa and Antarctica, and we actually plan to correct our absence in Africa before the end of the year. Mango, it's a chain of retail stores, which we launched the first one here in the United States, and our intention is to actually do the financial services to underserve what Steve Jobs did to computer retail stores. And Empower Mobile is the company that actually develops the mobile applications. Gratio Capital is a mutual fund management company. And Empower Labs is an additional investment that we made where we recognize that there are companies out there, there are entrepreneurs around the world that are coming up with the latest and greatest ideas, and that while we like to write a check and invest in them, it's always a lot better when we also give them a platform on which they can build their businesses, akin to imagine if Coca-Cola decided, hey, if you guys want to come up with a new beverage, leverage my bottling plant and leverage my relationships with retailers and leverage my expertise in making sure that we get the correct FDA approvals and so on and so forth. Today, our core business from a REV perspective at Empower Mobile is the fusion, the seamless integration of prepaid with mobile payments and mobile banking. The idea is that the costs of transactions, both in terms of time and money, are extremely important to the customers, retailers, telcos, and banks, and the only way to make it work is when you have it seamlessly integrated. Some of the products that we have under the Empower Mobile arena really go into the consumer, small business, and enterprise. On the consumer side, the focus is on moving money from point A to point B, between accounts, between financial institutions, between countries. On the small business, Yap Accept is the ability to enable the small merchant, whether it's a lady working at a market in Mexico or Vietnam or Kosovo, to be able to accept credit cards. Again, today, the likes of Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover, and others have done a fantastic job in the Western world, in the United States, in getting us to have our payments, card payments, to work. Well, in a country like Mexico, which has roughly a third of the U.S. population, it has actually 1/30th of the point of sale and ATM devices. So, but yet, at the same time, it has in excess of 50 million mobile phones. So we think that the mobile phone becomes an exponential terminal. On the enterprise side, Yabai, it's the ability to enable corporations to sell to end consumers via the text message or iPhone applications. Again, we think that e-commerce has been phenomenal around the world, but for most of the world that does not have access to internet, their mobile phone becomes their PC. And then expansions into the ability to collect for payments. So this is more where you're actually pulling the payment, and also donations. Our view on donations is that it should be free to the charities, completely free. We're talking about no 35 cents for the SMS, no 3.5%, and also that it shouldn't take 90 days, but instead it should be a matter of, if not 1 to 2 days before the charity gets the cash, and it should not be limited to $10 per transaction, which is what you're able to do on the mobile, on the bill. Today, our current footprint, we're live with Cards in Market, the United States, Mexico, Australia, India, Kosovo, Romania. A lot of people ask me, Kosovo, what in the world? And the reality is that for us, we have a series of metrics that we look at in terms of what countries make sense. But one of the key ones is where we can have a great partnership with the central bank / minister of finance. Why? Because all of a sudden we don't have to waste cycles trying to sort out regulation on a product that we learned 10 years ago when we were launching prepaid and, you know, really getting into things such as Regi, Regsi, agent networks, money transmitter licenses, that is so much better, even with the best of intentions, when you're able to get the regulator to jump in front at the same pace that you have instead of playing catch-up or on a very paternalistic yet uninformed way, create barriers that end up breaking things. And in the case of Kosovo, we were able to have an incredible relationship where we went from soup to nuts in 6 months. This is our customer. We already talked about it throughout the day. Asset poor. They do have money, however. Cash-based, to us, the focus is reducing the cost of transaction, both in terms of time and money. But we're also very encouraged because we know that they're great adopters of technology. Some of the key trends that we also see are playing into this discussion, not just today, is the fact that, hey, let's face it, when you have 6+ billion people on the planet, half of them have a mobile phone, but yet we only have 1 billion with a bank account, there's an incredible opportunity to get the same motivation that took people to have a phone and see all the opportunities of having a phone to have them come into financial services mainstream. Yet, we're never going to be able to build branches fast enough and with a cost structure that makes sense, and yet we can leverage retailers. So we've seen retail banking go from building branches back in the 70s and 80s to saying, hey, we're going to build them inside of a Walmart, to the, hey, now we're going to hang a card inside of a J-hook. Well, we think the next progression is that a mom-and-pop store in the middle of the Chiapas Sierra is going to be able to do that, not just a Walmart in the United States. Customer demographics, we're seeing a big change from the rural to the urban settings, and we think that at the same time the population is getting much younger. So we need to figure out how do we make relevant content. And then at the same time, as we start looking at the exponential growth of mobile applications, it's a no-brainer. It's not about whether, when. It's happening now. It's just who and how. So, again, my comment. You can see how GDP density goes with the movement into the urban settings. That also calls for movement of capital from the wealthy countries to less wealthy ones, from rural urban setting to rural setting. You can see the access to bank accounts. This is one of the things that when you compare the lack of convergence in terms of account openings to what's happening in the mobile setting, when you're actually having every single country's catching up, and we can see ourselves quickly getting to a 70-80% mobile phone penetration in any country, we have a lot of opportunities. Today, our focus, when we talk about underserved, we're not talking about bottom of the pyramid. We're talking about people, again, that have enough money to buy a phone, have enough money to pay for the airtime. They're just being left out of financial services. And we see the entry services as starting with mobile top-up, money transfers, utility bill payments, but at the same time, giving them all the functionality and the features of a bank account backed by a financial institution leveraging the mobile phone. The different players that we see can play a significant role, end up being banks, mobile operators, social networks, and retailers. Every single one of them has a very specific benefit, and they have strengths that augment this. It's not one party has all the solutions. And we also see us going from payments into a myriad of things. We are not going to make this system work if we just start thinking on a transaction or a piece of plastic. It has to go beyond that. We have to include all the benefits of a financial system, including credit, access to insurance, access to asset building products, and ultimately giving the end consumer full participation. Quick pictures. Customers in Mexico, program in Mexico, soccer stadiums, great way to open accounts at a retail location, Eastern Europe, advertising, you know, day and night, grassroots movements. This is in Kosovo. Again, at a telco store, promotions. Hey, win a trip to Istanbul if you live in Kosovo. That's a big promotion for you. Programs in India, in the United States, Australia. Hey, if you're a cab driver, you want to get paid and get your money instantly into a debit card that you can use. Brazil, Ecuador, Mexico, painters. Hey, get paid directly onto a card, be able to accept debit cards, credit cards on your phone. Dominican Republic coming up, and that's it. It's been busy.